Welcome to the Building Wealth Through Commercial Real Estate podcast, where we will discuss with industry experts on how to create wealth and build passive income from apartment buildings, self-storage, mobile home parks, and much more. Here is your host, Jonathan Way.
Welcome to the Building Wealth Through Commercial Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Way, and I'm the founder of Greystone Capital Group, my investment firm. If you're interested in passively investing with us, please visit greystonecapgroup.com and join our investor network. Okay, and now on to the show. Hello, everyone. Today we have Sarah Ibrahim on the show today. I'm very honored and pleased to have him on the show. He's a financial planner and member of the Bank on Yourself organization. He helps real estate investors, business owners, and full-time employees grow safe and predictable wealth, regardless of market conditions, using financial strategies. They've been around for 160 years. So a lot of people don't know about this strategy because it's not really publicized in the TV or commercial, but it's been around for decades. He started his journey in grad school from his MBA. He worked for companies like Allstate, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cigna, HealthSpring Humana before founding his financial asset protection and financial services focused on the sole concept of the bank on yourself concept, or sold as infinite banking concept. And today, he will help enlighten us and share us with somebody's this concept of infinite banking, which I heard before, but I don't fully grasp the concept. So I think for people who never heard it before or don't know the concept that well, Sarah can help explain this idea.
Yeah, John, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. So the bank on yourself concept is a way for you to become your own banker in simple terms. It's a way for you to eventually cut out the banks and become your own banker for you to bank on yourself. And I think it would help, right, explain exactly what it is. So in a very basic way, it is the use of cash value whole life insurance. That's the underlying asset that's used. It's cash value whole life insurance, mainly used for the cash value part, obviously, inside the policy. And then the ability to borrow against that and then use for your everyday purchase, your large purchases, like buying properties or investing as a limited partner in deals, or buying other assets, whatever you want to buy with the money, you could do so going through your own policy and being your own banker and controlling the terms of that financing.
That's very interesting. So you're using an insurance product, whole life insurance product, not a term life. Term is just a term. Whole life policy, where there's a cash value in that. And that becomes your bank account, basically, you're saying?
Yeah, in essence, yeah. So there's typically three types of life insurance. There's term, whole life, and universal. So term is a set period of time, just 10 years, 20 years, 30 years only. There's a start date and end date, but no cash value at all. So this won't work with term life insurance. Universal is it's a combination of term and whole life. There's some variances, to understand infinite banking, it has to be with whole life insurance. And let's say, for example, I'm putting $10,000 a year into the policy. I'm funding it every year. A portion of the premiums are going towards the cash value, and then a portion of it is going towards the life insurance. A
portion goes to the cash value. And how much proportion? Can you change that the ratio, or is it set?
Yeah, so it depends on the situation, depends on the company, depends on a lot of factors. But it can, for the most part, I think an average could be 50-50. So 50% is going towards the life insurance, and then 50% is going towards the cash value. Now, some clients might say, well, why don't we just skip the whole life insurance part and just do 100% cash value? And the reason why is because, as you know, as a CPA, life insurance has a lot of tax benefits. And if you do too much cash over it's a scale, imagine. If the cash value is significantly greater than the life insurance part, then it could be known as a modified endowment contract. Now, the IRS will look at that as a taxable vehicle or a taxable contract, and then they'll tax it like a 401k or IRA, and it'll defeat the purpose of infinite banking. We want to be tax-free growth and tax-free withdrawals and tax-free loans. So there has to be rules to follow. And this is why you want to work with an advisor that knows what he or she is doing. So typically about 50-50 is a good blend.
Okay. Because you don't want to have such of a form, meaning that you don't want to mass a product that's really become a taxable entity. But if you view it as not really a life insurance policy no longer, but it's kind of a tax avoidance scheme to avoid tax. So great. That's awesome. So does your health have to matter when you apply this infinite banking to get this policy?
So yes and no. So there's typically three parts to a life insurance policy. There's the owner, there's the insured, and there's the beneficiary. If you want to be the insured and the owner, then yeah, your health has to be in pretty okay. You can't have any serious illnesses or things like that, or health conditions. But for the most part, most people get accepted for life insurance, to apply life insurance. But now let's say, for example, you want to apply this concept and you're not in good health. This is what you could do. You could own the policy. Now, let's say, for example, you have employees, you own a company, you have employees, you could insure your employees. Or let's say, for example, your spouse, you could insure your spouse, or your kids, you could insure your kids. You could insure anybody in your life that you have insurable interests with, somebody who relies on you or you rely on them for financial support or take care of financially, typically family or in a business setting, you can insure them. So that's sometimes what some clients do that can't get approved for life insurance. They insure somebody else and now they own the policy. They own the cash value. They can take out loans and do everything as if it was their policy.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you can insure someone else. That's good. That's great. Mm-hmm. So tell me, what is the great secret benefits of this infinite banking? You could take the cash. Is it tax-free? You take it out? Or how does that work in the benefits?
So technically, it's the use of cash value life insurance is a post-tax vehicle, meaning that you're going to pay tax on the money first. It goes into the policy, kind of like a Roth IRA. And then at that point, it grows tax-free. So let's say, for example, I have $100,000 in cash value in my policy. And then next year with the interest and dividends, it goes up to $105,000. I don't pay taxes on that. And then tax-free loans and withdrawals in most situations. As long as the policy is not a modified endowment contract, the loans and withdrawals will be tax-free. So you could take out loans and withdrawals above cost basis, meaning more than what you put in, without paying any taxes on them under current tax law. Wow. And then the life insurance, the actual death benefit, like if something were to happen to you and it would go to your family or your business, that is typically income tax free. So that goes, and it could also, it's exposed to estate taxes up to a certain point. I think it's like 11, depending on the state you live in, it's like 11.5 million or something. I have to check the numbers, but it's typically high up there, the estate taxes on life insurance.
Well, that's a really good benefit because you can put money in and then they don't take money out as a loan and take some money out, right, to use as a bank account, basically, right? So I guess you pay your groceries like that. You could do that as well.
Yeah, you could do that. You could even technically use your money from your business, pay the premiums into the policy, and then borrow against the policy, use that borrowed money for your business expenses, get the acceptable business expenses under the guidance of your CPA or tax professional, and then get the deductions with that, and then still have the tax-free growth in the policy. So it's kind of like you're almost like, in a sense, mixing a pre-tax and post-tax vehicle together. It has to be, you check with your CPA and your life insurance agent and professional, but there are ways to do kind of a little bit of both.
So, very interesting. So it's kind of like a Roth IRA where you had to pay tax up front, but yeah, at the end, you can grow tax-free like that, right? Similar to like that. So that's why it's very beneficial. A lot of people in Roth IRA do very well because they pay up front. They don't grow like, $500,000, $1 million. It's really great.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess once it's inside, there's post-taxes, no taxes afterwards. You can grow tax-free. You can borrow a loan. And up to how much can you borrow up to? Is there a limit or no?
Yeah, so the limit is up to 90% of the cash value. So if you have 100,000 cash value, up to 90, typically 90,000 or 90% of that. And then there are no limits to the amount of times you borrow. So you can keep borrowing as long as the loan balance doesn't exceed 90% of the cash value, you're fine. And no, there's no underwriting for the loans. So you typically, it's just a one-page document. What's your policy number? How much money do you want? And then do you want a check mailed to you or do you want it directly deposited? That's it. You send it to the insurance company, and some insurance companies even have like an online portal you can log into and do this electronically. And then about 5 to 7 business days later, the funds come to you. And then there are no restrictions on what you could use the money for. You could use it for anything you want, business or non-business purposes, anything you want, you could use that for. And then you pay back on your own terms. So this is part of the bank on yourself world, or the becoming your own banker, is that you are in control of that. You pay that back on your own terms whenever you want. You can pay back monthly, annually, in lump sums. You could do like automatic withdrawals from your bank account back towards the life insurance company and the payments. And John, on top of all of this, is that the fact that we're collateralizing the policy, we're not interrupting the growth. So imagine, for example, in the real estate world, right? If you have a property, let's just say it's $500,000, and let's say you borrow $100,000 against the property, does that outstanding loan affect the appreciation of the property?
I guess it could. No.
Yeah, it does. The property is going to appreciate regardless if you have an outstanding loan against it or not. And the same is true with life insurance. That when you have the cash value growing, when you borrow against it, as long as it's from a non-direct recognition company, the cash value will keep growing whether you have a loan outstanding against it or not. Because if I have $100,000 in cash value and I borrow, let's just say I borrow $90,000, I'm not subtracting $90,000 from the policy. I'm using the life insurance company's money, their general funds, borrowing $90,000 from them, leveraging my cash value as collateral. So this way I can like have an arbitrage, meaning the growth of my money will outpace the cost of the interest you use to borrow that money.
Oh, I see. That's really interesting. It's really a great vehicle in the sense, a lot of pros. You can take 9% of your loan, which is really high, because normally in a 401k, you take only half.
Yeah.
Easily, right, the max is like half, like solo 401k and 401k is half. And you can only use for really passive investments. You cannot use it for active investments, meaning that I cannot take it and go, you know, syndicate it.
Yeah.
Right. So I cannot go and take it and syndicate it because the rule in a solo 401k is it has to be passive investments. You borrow $50,000. Okay. I borrow $50,000. I could buy a car, whatever I want. But what I'm saying in my solo 401k, if I take $50,000 out of my solo, I can only invest in passively. I can't do act. But I think the difference with this one, Sarah, is that you could take 90% and do whatever you want to. It could be active, passive, doesn't matter what it is.
Exactly. You're right. Yeah. And the same is true with like self-directed IRAs, right? Like you can't, for that investment that you use, you can't control any part of it. It has to be entirely passive. Like you have to own a separate entity, have a property management company handle everything. Like you cannot be directly in control of the asset, right? From a tax perspective.
Yes, because otherwise you break the retirement rules of passive investment, right? It's supposed to be investing in passive vehicles. Now the loan portion is a little different. You can borrow up to half the loan and do whatever you want to buy a car or whatever you want to. That's the loan. That's different.
Yes.
But the benefit of this plan, you get the 90% versus 50%. So it's much higher leverage and it's independent of the appreciation of the cash value, which is amazing. So that's really like really amazing because normally if you borrow in a solo 401k, you borrow, let's say $100,000. And you borrow $50,000, you only have $50,000 left.
Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? That's all, you're not going to, you know.
Yeah, the $50,000, the first $50,000 is still, let's say in the stock market, the other $50,000 is like frozen and it's in the side. And then you pay, right? That's how it works with 401k.
Yeah. And then you pay it slowly and you can get back your balance, right? But yes. I think what benefit this one you're saying is that it's independent. You can borrow $50,000, but your cash value is only a collateral. So that fund is not from your cash, it's from somewhere else, is what you're trying to allude to.
Yeah, exactly. It's from the general funds of the insurance company. Exactly. So in other words, you can kind of recycle your money without having to worry about interrupting the growth of your money. It's really good for passive to invest in passive deals, or if you're an active investor and you kind of like need cash, like consistently need cash, it's perfect for that. Mm-hmm. And the life insurance company itself is not like, for example, like one of the companies we work with, Lafayette Insurance Company, right? Like if I go and I, you know, all insurance companies do this, right? When you pay your premiums, they're taking that money and they're investing. The insurance company is investing in different places. Very similar to what banks do. They raise capital and they go invest in different areas. However, with life insurance companies, specifically life insurance companies, they're very risk averse. They're very conservative. They only invest in certain areas like the bond market, private loans to financial institutions, real estate, like very conservative. And actually, and that's how they're able to give out interest and dividends. The interest is guaranteed over a period of time. The dividends are not guaranteed. However, we only work with insurance companies who have a proven track record of paying out dividends for well over 160 years. So these companies have even outpaced, like their cash value has been growing even during the Great Depression. As a matter of fact, that the only families and businesses who made it through the Great Depression financially were the ones who had cash value life insurance, because the insurance companies weren't investing in the stock market. They don't take unnecessary risks. And then another thing too, is interesting that if you took, for example, there's about 2,000 life insurance companies in the United States. If you took all their capital, just the life insurance companies alone, and pooled it together, it would be greater than all of the banks and the oil companies in the world, all of their cash in the world. So life insurance companies in the United States are sitting on a lot of cash, trillions of dollars in actual cash, and that's compounded every single year. This is how they're able to guarantee interest, guarantee death benefits, guarantee the ability for clients to always be able to borrow against their money and always be able to collateralize it, no matter what happens in the economy.
Okay, great. I already like that. And no one really knows. It's kind of like not really known in the in the media, right? No one really talks about infinite banking. It's not really out there. So how much would it cost to open one up normally to do this, you know?
Yeah, so it can vary. It could be, I started my first policy doing $300 a month. So think of it as like almost like in the sense of opening a savings account. It really could vary. You could open a savings account with $10 million or you can open a savings account with $100. Very similar idea. I started my first policy doing $300 a month. I think one kind of rule, or not rule, but one metric that you can kind of use is about 10% of your gross income. So if you make $100,000 a year, I think adding $10,000 a year into one of these policies would be a good idea. It would yield you a good use of that money. And then, of course, as you're building it up and building up the cash value, then you can kind of do more things. Like, for example, if you're an active real estate investor, in the beginning, you might have a little bit of cash value deposit, and you could use that for like closing costs, for like legal fees, for things like that. And then as you're building up the cash value, then you can use that for down payments. By the way, let's say, for example, you're in the process of financing and the bank asks you, for example, like, where did you get this 25% down? You could say, I got it from my life insurance policy. And banks like to see that. So underwriters like to see that you're using your life insurance policy and not just straight cash from a bank account, because they know that that money is going to keep growing. So that's another thing too, is somebody might ask is like, you know, what if I finance from the insurance company, the down payment, and then I do the other financing through traditional financing? That's 100% financing. Well, you could do that because the bank is going to look at your life insurance money as your money that you're using. So in other words, there are steps to it that you can kind of scale up as you're going throughout this process.
I really like that, because it's kind of like looking at your own like almost your 401k, and this is my money. Mm-hmm. It's my asset. It's not a liability. I'm not borrowing from a third party debt or something.
So, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Good. Very good. Awesome. So what do you say now is the top three things that you would say to the audience that why you should have infinite banking?
Yeah, just think about the amount of taxes you're going to pay in the future. Like, you know, everybody wants to make more money. That's a given. But, you know, taxes are a huge concern, not just short term, like not just this year on how much I'm going to file and whatever, but also like think about it like in retirement. Like, you know, one problem with 401ks and IRAs is like you can get a deduction, right? This year, you defer your taxes for 20 or 30 years, but then you have to now pay all the taxes on all the money coming out of it. So if you have $1 million in there, you have to pay tax on that. And then there's also required minimum distributions, RMDs. So you want to consider these things. So that's number one is taxes. Number two, consider interest. You know, I think of how many times you pay interest to a lender over and over again. You want to redirect that interest instead of going to a lender to go to your pocket. So that way you're earning compound interest in your pocket. And then number three, think of risk. So think of it, you know, again, we're all chasing different opportunities in real estate entrepreneurship, but you want to consider risk. Like you want your backbone. You know, it's okay to take risks. I take risks every day as a business owner, but you want to consider like your foundation to be secure. So this way, if everything collapsed, like in 2008, everything collapsed, you still have a core that's still there, and it's still going to appreciate and still going to outpace inflation at the least, at the minimum. So
okay.
Taxes, interest, okay. And risks.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. I think that's great. So how can people reach you, Sarah? Do you want to talk more about this or open an account?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I'd love to talk to you to do a free consultation. You can go to our website. It's finassetprotection.com, finassetprotection.com. You can schedule a free appointment. You can download a free book. You can send me an email. You can check out our podcast or our YouTube channel, all from that website, finassetprotection.com.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. For more information, you can find us online at www.graystonecapgroup.com. Check back weekly for new episodes. See you again next time.